Let's go to Colossians 3:22. Colossians 3, verse 22. If you're there, say amen. Still searching? Amen. Colossians 3 verse 22 says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open our spiritual ears this morning, Lord, and let us receive what you have with grateful hearts, Lord, and Father God, continue to grow our faith and direct our hearts to you, Father God. I pray that you anoint my lips to give your holy and anointed word, Father God. Thank you for everybody here this morning. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So Paul, if we back up, he was talking to wives and husbands and children. And now he goes to the slaves, because during this time, there were slaves, you know. And we, you know, as Christians, we are to be bondservants. We are to be slaves of Christ who do what pleases God, not the earthly master. Paul said, not only when his eye is on you and to make you look good, but with sincerity of heart and fear for the Lord. So as Christians, we're to do what we do as to please God, not only when we're away from everybody, because then that's not sincere. If I'm just up here doing this for you guys to see me up here, I'm not doing it for the right reason, you know. But if I'm, when I'm at home in the morning, I've got my Bible open and I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm writing stuff down for a message to you guys, for you guys, but mainly to please God. And that's away from, you know, your view, you know. In other words, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do even away from your eyes, because I know God's eye is on me, right? So we're to do, how do you say it? Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only with their eye on you and to curry their favor. What is he saying there? To love and serve others, we need to love them more and need them less. Wait. Took you guys for a loop there. Paul says, work with all your heart as for the Lord, not for men. Not for men. Is Paul telling the slaves to rebel against their masters? No. No. That would be dangerous, right? they might get whipped and whatever else they did back then. But in verse 22, Paul instructs slaves not to be motivated by a desire to please other people. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to the servants of God here. Don't do this walk to please other people. Do this walk to please God. I'm a slave of Christ. I'm not doing this for my friends to see me, old friends to see me. I'm not doing this for family members to see me. I'm doing this because I'm saved. I am redeemed, the song said. I've been set free. I'm no longer that man inside of me, somebody. You know, I've been delivered. So, yes. I'm doing this for that. And I'm doing this because I've given my life, I give myself away. Somebody said, you know, I've given my life away to Christ. He says, yes, the highest power, somebody. Paul instructs slaves not to be motivated by desire to please others. Do your work as you're doing it for God. Do it as if you're serving God. Come on, somebody. I tell you the story of me and the restrooms. You know, I was the sound man. I was the usher. I had all these titles at church. I would give a word. I would do a tithing scripture. And then my pastor asked me to do restrooms. I said, no problem. I started doing restrooms. We started getting some more men. And he let them give a word and stuff. And I said, hey, pastor, don't you think they should be doing the restroom now? Man, I've been here longest, man. You know, I was like, man, give that brother that job now. You know, I got seniority. And the pastor said, Reuben, who are you doing it for? Man, pastor, that ain't fair. That ain't fair. So, you know what? It struck me. I said, man, you know what? All right, yeah. Do it for God, you know. So after church, I would go clean the restroom. You know, it doesn't take long. Somebody, come on. So do it as you're serving God. And especially when you're serving God, it should be to be seen. It shouldn't be to be seen or to get praise or get a following. If he is your master, you serve with all your heart, and he will reward you. That's what we just read. He will reward you. Maybe a bigger opportunity. Maybe another ministry. But it all starts with a humble heart. A servant's heart. How do I get to start teaching, Pastor? Show yourself worthy, man. Show yourself worthy at church. Be here early. Be here to help. Be here late. Come on, somebody. Man, don't come in at start of the church service. Oh, pastor's got everything set up. Good. Come on, somebody. You know, I want to teach. Come on. Show me. Show me you want to teach. Show me you're going to be faithful to God. That's how we start our ministries. You know? There's a way, and it's God's way. You know, he needs to see us as his servants. Let's go to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 15. I'm going to start it. 15 says, what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. We are not under the law no more, meaning we won't face the penalty of sin. You mean I'm not going to hell just because I asked God into my heart that day? Yeah. You're saved from the penalty of sin, but that doesn't mean you won't have consequences if you continue to sin, somebody. You're saved from the penalty of sin, but you're not saved from working on it, somebody. I got saved, but I've got to keep working my salvation out. I can't just, like it said, you know, so what? Should we just keep on sinning now that we've been saved? No. By no means, he said. We won't face the penalty of sin, but we aren't saved from it. Meaning we will have to work out our salvation. It's not a one-time deal. Now you're saved, free to do what you want. Oh, man. Working out means a program, somebody. You know, going to the gym. You know, there's a program. Every day, come on. Maybe every other day. You know, read your word. You know, listen to a podcast. Feed your spirit. There needs to be a program. You know, so that's working out your salvation. No, it's not just put it down and think you're going to stay saved. The devil is out there to kill, steal, and destroy what he is, what God has did to you. No, we have a choice. In choosing to sin or displease God, we're obeying the enemy. Remember the days of when we're in sin and we couldn't stop. You know, we couldn't stay away from the bad we're doing. I know I couldn't. Am I the only one that couldn't? I remember, you know, starting Friday morning, I'm not gonna go off tonight, you know. And then I get my check on Friday around 4 o'clock. I'm like, man, the cold beer sounds good, and cold beer will lead to this, lead to that. And by 10 or 11, I'm smashed. Because why? Because the sin had a hold on me, man. Sin had a hold on me. And I, come on, Romans 7:14-20, he says, the good I wanted to do, I couldn't do. But the bad I didn't want to do, this I kept on doing. Somebody, that's the fight. When sin's got a hold on you. Huh? Is that true? You want to do right, but because of sin, you keep on sinning. You know, that's the devil's grip on you, man. Choosing sin leads to death, period. Spiritually, or sometimes physically, right? You be all drunk, you drive off the cliff, you're dead. You can be all drunk, you kill somebody, you end up in prison, you're done, your life is done. You know? You might have liver cancer, I mean, sin leads to death, man. Sin leads to spiritual death. You can't serve God and continue to sin. You can't be a slave to God and continue to sin. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You have to die to yourself. But choosing to obey God leads to being right with Him, right? Righteousness. Colossians 3:22 says, let me go back to our text. Bless you. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it. If I'm a bond servant to God, He is my master. There's a new sheriff in town, somebody. To love God is to obey God. It means you love Him so much, you obey Him. Amen? Huh? Yes. Correct. Yes, yes. It's lean not on your own understanding, somebody. And when you love Him, you want more of Him. If He's your master, you will serve Him with all your heart, your soul, and mind. Our call to love God and one another is a call to serve. You get that? Our call to love God and others is a call to serve God and serve others. Why? Why is that? Because God wants a humble heart. It's humbling to get up early, to put a word together, to come over here, put church up, put down church, study for weekday service. I mean, I'm serving God. I love you guys, but I'm not exactly doing it for you. I'm doing it because I'm a servant of God. You get that? I mean, I do it for you guys, but I'm doing it. I'm gonna get ahead of myself. I gotta do it because I love God. Because He's my master, and He saved me, and He called me to serve. You don't serve someone you don't love. How come some people have left? Because the love for God was fake or insincere, not enough. Why wasn't God enough for them? Because God wanted too much from them. You get that? Their heart, their soul, and their mind is what He wanted. He wanted to be loved, He wanted to be served, and He wanted to be thought of. And pride, the Bible says in Psalm 10:4, in his pride, the wicked has no room for God. My God, wait, you mean if I'm prideful? All my heart, my soul, and my mind is filled with me. You know, I can care less what God wants from me and stuff. Much less you guys. You know, if I got no room for God in my heart, I sure ain't gonna be serving you guys. Come on, come on. Prideful, selfish, man. You know, God wasn't enough. God asked too much from them. So they left. He wants to be thought of. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 6. The King James Version says, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. Man, church, I can testify to that. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and what? He makes your path straight. Yeah. What does that mean? That means if I think of God in the morning, if I think about him through the day, if I think of him when I'm eating dinner, when I'm going to bed, my life gets on the right path, man. I'm on the right road. I'm on a straight road now. Nothing could deter me. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He makes your path straight. That's a fact, Jack, somebody. In the NIV, he says, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Right? In all your ways, submit to him. My God, there's that word, submit. A dirty word. A dirty word, why? Because submitting means whatever he says. You know? Huh? Yes. Yes. Submit is a surrender. So to submit someone, you surrender to them, you know. Out in the world, this means surrender. Come out with your hands up, you know. And what about in church? If we do this, it means we're surrendered. Yeah? Yes, God, I am redeemed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I can lift my hands freely, you know. I couldn't do that when I first came to Christ. I'm not going to raise my hands up, man, you know. Didn't think I'm weird. But once I went, my pastor took me to a men's meeting in Baldwin Park. No, it was Almonte. And I saw all these tattooed arms and these Pendletons raising their hands, and Christ, I was like, man, that wall just broke down. And I could lift my hands like I was free. I was free to raise my hands with no shame no more, you know? So he wants to be thought of. He wants to be served. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Wait, Pastor, wait. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, you can't be a bondservant of Christ and don't have faith in him. Huh? You can't be a slave of God and not have faith in God and not truly believe in God. You know, why ain't I being blessed? I've been going to church and stuff. Maybe because you truly don't believe in God. Because the Bible says, anyone who comes to him must believe he exists. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So I believe in God that he exists. Because many people can say, I believe in God, I believe in God, but you can't tell by the way you're living. Come on, somebody. I believe in God, and I earnestly seek him. Meaning, I'm at church, I'm at Bible study, I'm reading my word, boom, I'm seeking him. If God sees that from you, he'll reward your life. to bless your life. I'm a living testimony to that, church. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe He exists and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. A bondservant is always looking for his master. Always looking to please his master. All right? Then there's Matthew 6:33. It's a big scripture in the Bible. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. What things? Well, if we back up, He's talking about the birds, and He's saying, they're clothed, they got what they need to eat, they got what they need to drink. So what is that? Our needs. All things will be added to us. Everything we need, He'll take care of. You know? Am I saying for you to just stay home and expect Him to drop everything in your lap? No. I'm saying He's seeking, we do our part. And he blesses. He blesses our efforts. Amen? Huh? Yes. You know, we do our part, and He's faithful to bless it. Amen? Amen. Right. Yes. Yes. I'm not saying He's going to reward your bank. but peace in your life, peace in your mind, peace in your heart, man. I mean, reward, man. He rewards you. He rewards me with peace in my life now. No longer this rattled, living from check to check guy no more. Not that I don't live check to check, somebody, but I'm not relying on that check like I used to. Like, man, I'm broke already halfway through the week. You know what I'm saying? He rewards us with a solid mind. Amen? A solid mind, peace in our heart, joy. The rewards, like I said, it's not just the bank. That's good, but it's not always a check in the mail, somebody. Why do people not want to serve? Because they feel it's not the Lord they're serving. Verse 23. That's verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Why do people not want to serve? Because they feel it's not the Lord they're serving. Huh? They think the pastor wants them to be here early and this and that. Oh, man, I'm getting ahead of myself. Come on. Whatever you do, whether you're cleaning restrooms or giving the word, do it with all your heart and do it as working for the Lord. For the Lord and not for human masters. Since you know, or don't you, you receive an inheritance from the Lord, the Bible says. Another reason people don't, oh no, wait, I gotta hear myself. The Bible said, it is the Lord you're serving. Why then do I feel like I'm serving man or the pastors? I'll tell you why. Because of a rotten heart. That's why. We ask things of you, not because we want them done, but because there's a need. We ask things of you, not because we want them done, but because there's a need. A bondservant heart would see the need and say, hey, can I help in that place? Okay. My God. A few years back, I asked to rotate with Sister Maria to sit with the kids, and it never happened. Why? You guys didn't want to sit with the kids. Somebody? It's a need. Sister Maria doesn't have to sit with your kids. My God. But she does it because she's got a sibling. Out, Pastor. I know. A spiritual thinking this morning, somebody. A servant's heart sees the need and boom. Man, I'm telling you, and I'm not boasting, but I was the sound man because I knew music. I was the usher because I wanted to serve. My pastor telling me to give word, I give word. Get a tithe scripture. The need was there, and he asked me, and boom, man, no problem, Pastor. Like I say, he never had to ask me if I was going to be there early or stay late. He never asked me, had to ask me if I was going to be at an event, man. I was a servant, you know. I am where I am because God saw my heart. All my years going under a pastor, I was solid in serving. And I'm not boasting. I'm just trying to give you an example. No. Another reason why people don't serve is because they're not a bondservant of the Lord. They don't see God as their master. My God. That's an eye-opener. Yes, Master. Yes, Master. You don't want me being over in that crowd with that crowd. Yes, Master. Come on. No? I've said this before. If you don't see God as your father, you'll have a hard time obeying him. My God. Slaves would never disobey their master for fear of punishment. Verse 24 said, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. And there is no favoritism. He reminds slaves that their reward will come from the Lord and punishment for wrongdoing. Verse 22, he instructs slaves to not be motivated by a desire to please people, but rather love and fear the Lord. That's how to serve others, church. Not looking for a reward or a thumbs up, somebody, but because we're working for the Lord. Servants of God are just and diligent, fearing God. Without selfish motives, or hypocrisy. Let's go to Nehemiah 5:15. My gosh. Is this good for you guys? It's good for me. Give it to me. Fifteen. Sorry, thank you, sister. Here he says, but the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them, in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people, but out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. My God. A servant of the Lord won't act for fear of God. No. Not, ooh, God's scary, but I serve an awesome God, a big God, a mighty God. You know? And one thing, I don't want to displease him. Right? That's what he's talking about. Out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. That's so good. Hezekiah, he was a man of God. What makes us read our words, sacrifice time to study and teach, be here early, stay till everything's put away? It's because we know God called us to it. Again, I do this for you, but God is who I'm serving. I don't worry if you thought the message was good or outstanding. That would be a big load on me, a stressful thing. That would be heavy. See, I could pull something up on the internet and read it to you and try to pull it off as if it was mine, but I don't. I sit at my table morning after morning, every morning, and do what I do because the Lord is watching. Amen? See, in closing, what would an airplane pilot with 200 people on his plane, what would he be if all he worried about was those 200 people, how they saw his flying? They hit some air pocket. Oh, gosh, you know. No. He doesn't. And he lands a plane, a little rocky and stuff. Oh, my gosh. You know. No. He's only looking for one person. And that person is the air traffic controller in the tower. That's who he's looking at to come in the way. That's who he cares is watching. Who are you caring that watches you this morning in this walk? Amen? As bond servants of God, we should take it. God is who we're looking to please. Amen? Not man. No. I'm not working for man. I'm working for the Lord. Amen? Somebody say, I'm working for the Lord. Working for the Lord, somebody. Amen? I'm going to skedaddle. Maria? You got to run, church. God bless you guys. Yes. You want this?